This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma of the People Speak Radio, and with us tonight is Betty Peltier. Betty is the sister of Leonard Peltier. Betty works on Leonard. Now, for those of you that are not aware of who Leonard Peltier is, he is a convicted, he's in prison and convicted of murdering FBI agents, and we'll talk about that through the show. But first, a little bit about Betty and her work. She works in the Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, the LPDOC, which is the center of communication between Leonard Peltier and his program coordinators, the general public, government officials, political and tribal leaders, the media, and his supporters worldwide. The LPDOC plans and coordinates an ongoing international freedom campaign to win Leonard's release. There are activities include outreach and networking, local as well as national and international organizing, public education, media relations, and public lobbying. First of all, hello, Betty. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's a pleasure having you. And congratulations on the work that you continue to do.
Thank you.
You know, we were a little bit disappointed. We had kind of hoped, according to all intents and purposes, July 27th of 2009 was supposed to be Leonard's date of parole. And we had hoped at the time that, I know that you were working on a release, an amnesty from the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had kind of hoped that Leonard might even be with us on the show tonight.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, what's going on?
Obama is aware of Leonard, and I heard through a friend of his that he is looking into Leonard's case and showing favor, you know, towards him, but that's about all I can say right now.
There isn't, so it isn't in stone. It's just kind of a hearsay at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see. Yeah. Well, of course, that's certainly what we want to hear. You know, for those that don't know about Leonard and the life he's led and what's happened to him in the beginning, can you give our listeners a brief synopsis of the reason Leonard has spent the last 30 years in prison, Betty?
He was convicted of murdering the two FBIs, but, you know, he is innocent. They've, on the papers that were, you know, documents that were released to Leonard and his attorneys, well, they found, proof in there that of all the I'll say dirty work that the FBI, you know, did, intimidating witnesses and the witnesses retracting their testimony later, saying that, you know, what they had seen wasn't true, but the FBI had threatened them into saying, and then even their own Eighth Circuit Court says they do not have any evidence that Leonard shot or killed anybody. And yet they still don't give him another trial. And this was in May of 85 when the prosecutor admitted that the government does not know who killed the FBI agents. And Judge Benson denied Leonard an appeal, you know, for a new trial at that time.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, who is Paul DeMaine?
Who?
Paul Demain.
I'm not familiar with that name.
Okay, I'm under the understanding that many of the statements that Paul actually worked with the FBI, although his statements were one of the statements that actually helped to convict Leonard. But then later he said he agreed that Leonard did not receive a fair trial. Can you tell us anything else about how the trial was not considered fair or the legalities behind that?
Yeah. Well, first they didn't let him have his trial, and where the other trials were they, you know, the other guys that were charged with the same sentence, they were acquitted, and they moved the trial to Fargo, and Fargo, North Dakota. That's where I'm at now, and and they got a judge that didn't like Indians. He was known for it, and they wouldn't let Leonard have a good defense. You know, they wouldn't let him use the terror that was going on there. They wouldn't let him use self-defense. And then they said they had the gun that did the killing, and it belonged to Leonard, which was later proven in court, and I was there, that the ballistic expert was lying about everything, you know. And we thought for sure Leonard would be released then, but they didn't let him out. And all the evidence, the witnesses that were there, I don't remember their names, and, you know, there was a couple that said they seen Leonard do it, and they turned around after and said that it wasn't true. They were threatened by the FBI to say those things. And,
And have they made signed statements to that effect, Betty?
Or was it just kind of informal? I'm not really sure, but I'm trying to look over the notes here because I have all the things for the court.
Yeah.
And
I guess it doesn't really matter. The fact remains that after 30 years, Leonard is still in prison. You know, many people call him, including Amnesty International, calls Leonard a political prisoner. Why do you think that they would consider him to be a political prisoner?
Because he was fighting for the Indian rights and, protecting his people. And I think the FBI just used him as a scapegoat for somebody because they wanted somebody to serve time for these killings. And Leonard was the last one. The other guys got acquitted. And I think and because of Leonard, does so many things while he's in prison. For the Native people and for anybody else that he can, you know, he's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. I think it's the fifth time, and he's won a different kind of awards while he's in prison. And
he's written many books while he's in prison.
Yes, written books, and doing whatever he can while he's serving his time. And Leonard is innocent. He shouldn't even be in there. You know, the trial was just I don't know what to call it. It wasn't a fair trial. Even their prosecutor says that. They have no evidence, you know. And when they don't have no evidence to say somebody killed somebody, why is he still in there?
Let me ask you, Betty, what kind of work have you guys been doing to help? Are you actually looking for a new trial, or at this point are you just trying to get him out of prison?
We're just trying to get him out now. Yeah, we're just trying to get him out because we're waiting for a trial. He could be there till he dies. now we just want to get him out. He's ill. He's getting old, you know. If we have to wait around for the FBI and the government to right a wrong here, he'll be dead, you know. So what we're working on is to get him out. He does have a parole hearing set for July 28th, and hopefully he'll get out on the 30-year mandatory law that he was sentenced under, the grandfather law that isn't no more. But since he was sentenced under it, they have to honor it. And he should get out on that, unless they're going to do some kind of, you know, not obey their own law and not let him out. But he should get out on this.
Okay, now he has been up for parole before, Betty, correct?
Yes. But,
what are some of the reasons that Leonard has been denied parole?
Because he won't admit that he did it, you know, which he didn't do it, so why is he going to admit it? That's what they're you know, they say that he's not, he won't admit it. So
now, if I'm not mistaken, aren't some of the families of the deceased FBI agents hardliners in stopping his being paroled?
They were at that time, I think, but somebody I forget who now has spoken to the family, and I guess they just like to get on with their life, you know.
Mm-hmm. And, so they're kind of done with it too.
Yeah. So maybe they're following the case and realizing that, you know, Leonard's not guilty. He's got thousands and thousands of supporters that believe him. Even people in the government. He's got support from all over the world. If these people didn't think he wasn't guilty because of all the things, you know, the wrongs that have been done to him, they wouldn't be standing up for him.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, I understand that Leonard was attacked earlier this year in a transfer from one facility to another. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yes, he was in he's in Lewisburg prison now, and then they transferred him because they're transferring the prisoners out there. They're going to turn it into a lockdown prison or something. So he got transferred to Canaan prison, and his first day out in population, his second day there, four guys surrounded him, and two of them started attacking him and beat him pretty bad. And anyway, Leonard said he, you know, they had him down, and he forced himself to get up. He said otherwise he knew he was really going to get it, you know, if the other two jumped in and they were way younger than him. They were, I think, in the 30s or something. Leonard's 64.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he pulled himself up, and the guys just took off, you know, took off running. And then the guard come over to him and said, you know, why did they quit? And he said, Leonard told him, what do you mean, why did they quit? Are they supposed to keep on doing it, or you know, what? And the guard didn't say nothing, just walked away from him. And, so we put something on our website about, supporters, we need your help to get Leonard out of that prison, because they had told Leonard when he went in that he would never leave alive, you know, leave the prison system alive. And
how often do you see Leonard, Betty?
We try to get down there every few months, you know, whenever we have the money. They had him closer, we'd see him more often, but we went down there a couple weeks ago, the last time.
And how was he?
Well, when we were there, he was complaining of his chest, and he said that day before we went there, he was having a lot of chest pain, and he, you know, his arms were hurting, and so he put his arms up and moved them around, and he said he started to feel better, but then he was getting chest pains again after, and he thought he was going to have a heart attack. But, you know, it could have been just anxiety just from his parole hearing. He's, you know,
So he's had his parole hearing for the month.
Yes.
And when will he know if he's going to be released or not?
Leonard said that it could take a while because they have to decide, you know, make the decision. And, it's not like we were thinking he'd get out the same day. They'd make the decision right then. But he said it could take a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. And then lately here, Leonard's been passing blood in his urine. And, you know, he's pretty nervous about that because he's been bothered with his prostate. And I guess when he went seeing the doctor about when he thought he's having a heart attack there, the doctor told him, oh, it's probably from your prostate. Now, you know, I don't know what the symptoms are for prostate, but I don't think it's chest pains, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, I don't know. You know, he said it could be from your prostate. I don't know. But, back to Canine Beating, all the supporters are calling in to prison, you know, to get Leonard out there, and it worked. With all the supporters, they got him out of there, like, within the week, back to the prison where he was. And the prisoners there, you know, just welcomed him back.
What were his injuries at the time?
He thought his finger was broke because it was all swollen.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought he had a concussion because he had got kicked in the head quite a bit. And because he kept getting, you know, dizzy and stuff and headaches, bad headaches. And bruising.
Has he ever let me ask you, has he ever been attacked in prison before?
Might have been early on when he first went in. I know there was a few fights, but, you know, I know that he was set up to, you know, to be killed when he first went to prison. And that was when he was in Lompoc. And the FBI had got... what the heck is his name? I think his name was Thunder Shield. I can't remember. Anyway,
Thunder Shield. Wasn't there a movie, Thunderheart?
Yeah.
Jimmy, Bill Kilmer portrayed Leonard, but in the movie it was Jimmy Eagle that he was playing, but it was actually Leonard Peltier that he was portraying. How did you like the rendition that Val Kilmer?
I guess it was okay. Yeah.
You sound like you're not real impressed with it.
It would have been good if the ending was he got out,
okay.
You know.
But do you think it helped Leonard's case? Or
I think it
helped his notoriety?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. You know, I really do. And just like I said, I wish the ending would have been good. But, yeah, I really do think it helped him, you know. And then I've noticed different movies that I'll see, and once in a while they'll mention Leonard's name, you know.
Well, he's become a very famous, almost like a legend in his own time. Let me ask you, what are his days?
Great warriors, you know.
What are his days in prison like, Betty?
he's got to stay in this little cell, you know, for what now, 33 years, and he says he can't even write in the cell, the one that he's in now, it's so small. I mean, he shares a cell, and, well, he'll get up, have a cup of coffee, because they have, like, coffee in there. You know, they buy coffee from the commissary, and they can make their own coffee. He'll have his coffee, then go to work for a couple hours, and then they got to go for, you know, every time they have count, they have to go back and get counted. And then he'll get, like, they'll get to go outside for an hour or two, and he'll usually just walk, you know, while he's out. And he said it's just a... not a very good routine. I mean, you know, it's something that he's used to, I guess, but it doesn't sound like a very good routine to me. Everything, you know, you can't, you gotta move when they say move, and, you know, and you can't just go do something on your own. You can't.
Betty, are you, is Leonard your younger or older brother?
He's my older. Leonard, myself, and my sister Vivian have the same mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my mom had more kids, you know, remarried. And then my dad had remarried and had more kids, too. So we have a lot of sister and brothers, but there's only three of us that have the same mom and dad.
Is Vivian also involved in trying to get Leonard's release?
She does what she can from Washington, the state, that's where she lives. And, but she hasn't been, her health hasn't been good, but she is going to make it to the vigil.
Now, can you tell us about the vigil?
Yeah, that's going to be on the 28th, and... it sounds like there's going to be a lot of people there, you know, and then there's going to be live radio there, and the guy that's doing the documentary is going to be there filming, and hopefully news people, and we're expecting like 1,000 or more people there.
What's the date of the vigil?
28th, the date of parole's going on.
Oh, okay. I thought the parole hearing was on the 27th. So you're saying it's on the 28th?
It's the 28th. Yeah, they changed it to the 28th.
Yeah. Do you have hopes that Leonard will be released?
Well, right now I'm more like positive that he's going to get out. I just hope I'm not in for a downfall. I just feel it. I don't know. I just feel that he's going to be released, you know.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right.
Because, you know, he's getting support right now from different countries. They're all writing in, you know, to the parole board. People all over are doing it. And then, you know, I just think that now, you know, more people's watching, and they're going to see if they obey their own law, you know, and let him out. I really feel that he's getting out.
Well, I hope you're right. I certainly I know there are a lot of people that are praying and hoping for his release. Unfortunately, it's taken, even if it happens, it's taken 33 years, and that is quite a toll on Leonard, quite a toll on the family.
Yes, really.
And it doesn't say a whole lot for the way our system works. We have some questions, Betty, from some of our guests. One of them is from Ken Kuota, who asked, does anyone know if the pickup truck that was never connected to Peltier was destroyed?
I don't know.
You don't
I've
know?
Never
okay.
Heard, no. I've never heard anything about it after that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Alan in Wyoming wants to know how much of the suspicious evidence, you got to be able to get the word out, suspicious evidence presented has vanished. Alan, you're not allowed to use that word on my show again. It's illegal.
What was the question again?
He wants to know if any of how much of the evidence has vanished, especially the evidence that was in question.
You mean like about the gun?
Just anything in general. I guess Alan is concerned that some of the evidence has disappeared somehow.
Like all the files on Myrtle Poirbear, they cannot find any files. You know, that's what they used to get him out of Canada. And she the FBI, she recanted her evidence, I mean her testimony later. She was saying she was Leonard's girlfriend, and you know, but the FBI had threatened her and were threatened to take away her kids, and I guess she was kind of a little bit slow mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
now, can you tell us who this is? What's her name again?
Myrtle Poirbear.
Myrtle Poirbear. Okay.
Yeah, I heard she's dead now. But anyway, they lost all documents on her, and Canada was pretty mad because, pretty upset because the government used false testimony to get him, you know, to extradite him. And Canada's they're pretty good on, you know, backing Leonard.
So you have a lot of support from the
supporters. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of support in Canada then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great. Legend Daria asks, does he have access to the internet, and is he listening tonight?
So there's no
way he could listen to this show.
No.
Does he ever have access to the internet, or is this just a okay?
No, I guess they are going to start doing something, on the internet where prisoners can get to them, but I don't think they have yet. He said he has no access at all to the internet. So he doesn't, you know, the only time he can see what's on the internet, if we send him something, you know, which we do a lot.
How do you send it to him? Just by printing it off?
Huh? We'll
print it off
and throw it to the mail. Send it in the mail.
I see.
You know, mail him like a what do you call it? An email or whatever. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's nice. How does he feel about all the support that he's gotten through the years?
He's very, very thankful. He said to tell everybody he loves them and prays for them all the time, and he just says thank you to everybody.
No, that's nice. Well, tell him that there are a lot of people that are rooting for him for sure.
Yeah, and he's the one in prison, and he's praying for people. You know,
isn't that wonderful? Can you tell us about I thought this was an interesting one. My producer told me about a Bake Bread for Peace event that happened on the 4th of July.
Yeah, and it was supposed to last all month. And I don't know if it's been on the news or anything, because right now my grandkids are visiting, and they got control over the TV, you know, where I can't even watch my news. But they were supposed to, on the 4th of July was going to be the first day, and then they were going to sit out in front of the White House, you know, different people taking different times, and baking bread, I think it was called Need Bread for Peace, and hand out
bread for peace or something.
Yeah, and the second topic was about Leonard. You know, they had different topics there. And the second one was going to be about Leonard.
Wonderful. That's mm-hmm. wonderful. What kind of a man is Leonard?
Leonard is, I don't know. To me, he's just, he's my brother. I think he's awful strong to be able to, you know, to stand it, being in prison when you know you're innocent. All you're doing is trying to help your people, you know, and people were getting killed there, and I don't know, to me I think he's one of the last warriors, you know. he's just he has a sense of humor. When we go there, we laugh and laugh, you know. And he's smart. He knows the Indian history in and out. I guess he's got a lot of time to read, you know. But
I guess
he, Yeah, you know. But I mean, he's really smart. He's a smart, smart man. And you know, his leisure time is painting. And you know, he's just. I don't know how to describe him. That's it. Just a strong person. I you know.
You sound like you're very proud of your brother.
I am. I am very proud to be a sister. Very proud.
Well, that says a lot right there, I assure you. Yeah. I know that there are a lot of people that are, songs have been written about him.
Yeah.
Has he ever heard any of these songs?
I guess a few times somebody will hold a, you know, the radio to the phone, and that's the only way he can hear it.
And, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then his phone calls are limited, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's ever heard a real full song.
Full songs.
Yeah.
Well, boy, he's in for a treat when he comes out, isn't he?
Yes, yes. When he sees all the music about him and, you know, different things, yeah.
And, that's going to be huge. I understand the Dalai Lama even has given his support to Leonard.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
And with all of this going on, is there any formal presentation for amnesty that's going to be given to the Obama administration, Betty?
I honestly don't know what they do, but I know that they're doing what they can, you know. So they're really, really helpful. And I don't know what to answer to that. Except
are there currently attorneys that are working on his case?
On Leonard's?
Yes.
Yes. He has three attorneys that are well, there's two that are, you know, work all time, but there's three two for sure that's going to be at the parole. And Leonard can't call any witnesses at all to go, you know, for himself at the parole, but they can call the witnesses.
Okay. And who is this all done pro bono? Are they working just
Yes, they, well, a lot of them used to work pro bono, but right now that some people in France have offered to pay the attorney fees.
Oh, really?
Big help, yes. They they offered to do that for him, so, you know, we can get some good attorney.
So he has a lot of international support.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And has Amnesty International given in support in any way?
National what?
Amnesty International.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've trying to, you know, get to the president and doing things for his parole.
Good. Good.
Yeah, they're working on helping us.
Well, what you said that, you know, when we go to visit him, mm-hmm. who is we?
Well, me and Carrie, my niece that helps me in the office here,
uh-huh.
we used to go together. And last time we went down, well, the time before, not last time, we went with the attorneys so we could all have, you know, meeting and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then this last time we went, there was me and Carrie. That went down, and we're going to go up like a day before the vigil and visit, so we could visit him again before the parole hearing. And
mm-hmm.
my sister will be here from Washington to go to that.
And, oh, how wonderful!
Yeah, and
how wonderful!
Yeah,
and you know, that just seems like there's so much going on. Do the lawyers attend the parole hearings, or is that just something that Leonard goes into on his own?
No, I think his lawyers go with him.
I'm not sure how they handle parole hearing like that.
Yeah, because they go in with him.
You know, there's a lot of people. You know, even billionaire David Geffen made a statement. He made not only a political statement, but he made a financial statement. He actually withdrew his support of Hillary Clinton based upon the fact that Bill Clinton refused to issue clemency for Leonard.
Yes.
That must have been huge. Has David Geffen been a supporter all along of Leonard's case, or is that just a one-time thing?
No, he has been. He has been. And, that's all I can say. He has been. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, I understand also that, and I hope that I'm pronouncing this correctly, Jody Archambault Gillette, who is the Deputy Associate Director of the House of Intergovernmental Affairs. Now, she's been working on this. She also is an enrolled member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Now, she is part of a member of the Obama Campaign for Change, and she's working on this as well, isn't she?
Yes. Yes.
And have you met with any of these people, or do you just hear a...
Well, no, mostly just talk on the phone, you know, but at this parole hearing, a lot of people that I've just been talking to are going to be there, you know, so I'm just anxious to meet people because, you know, to put a face with their voice and just, you know, so I could thank them in person. And there's people, you know, I heard there was going to be like a 50-car caravan just coming, I think, from California.
Wow.
And a busload of people from New York, plus people all over coming, you know. And I know from Fargo there'll be about five cars of us leaving from here. But, you know, there's people coming from all over. A lot of supporters that I've been talking to, they're going to be there. And what's his name? The guy that wrote the book, Peter Matheson's going to be there. At the parole, at the vigil.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic event. We'll talk more about it and take some more questions after our break. We're going to take a short break, listeners. This is Betty Peltier on the People Speak Radio, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Join the World March for Peace and Nonviolence, an international three-month event spanning seven continents and over 1 million participants. With endorsements from luminaries worldwide such as President Jimmy Carter, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The World March for Peace and Nonviolence seeks to bring attention to the need to end war and occupation, reduce arms spending, and all forms of violence. Please visit theworldmarch.org.
It's called the Comfort Bike because that's what it feels like when you ride it. Comfortable. The Day 6 Comfort Bicycles produce ergonomic bikes that are the equivalent of a good ergonomic chair, allowing you a natural body position as you use it. With a fully adjustable backrest, wide seat, and a high handlebar design, the Day 6 bikes help you to rediscover the fun and freedom of riding. No hunching over, like when you ride a traditionally designed bike, no matter how fast you're going. Even mounting the bike is easy with a step-through designed frame. Please visit day6bicycles.com to see and learn more about this revolutionary design that is making bike riding a joy again for so many people.
Are Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in The Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its present disastrous climax as the reader is shown that the way to restore America's true wealth has been with us all along. Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, to see how America's money and future can become by and for the people once again.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away. Give to the World Food Program.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the silver by the relief of the I saw my people and they stood there hungry.
Hello, everybody. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio, where we have with us this evening Betty Peltier. Betty is the sister of the legend, the myth, Leonard Peltier, who has been incarcerated for almost 33 years now for what many believe to be an unfair, unjust conviction. So far, it seems that everything that has been at one time claimed to be truth in the investigation against Leonard Peltier has turned out to be either faulty testimony, testimony coerced by FBI agents, information that has gone missing, just a whole jumble of things that have just proven to be absolutely a farce. And, you know, Betty and I were talking on the break, and you know, you said something, Betty, that kind of, you know, had me shaking my head. You said all of the FBI agents can't be crooked, can they? I don't know, Betty. I've heard a lot of stories on this show.
I mean, there's got to be some there that's, you know, straight. I mean, these are people are the ones that's supposed to be protecting us, you know, and to me, I have no respect at all for the FBI, you know, because they seem to be, like, when parole for Leonard was trying to get clemency from Clinton, you know, they all the FBI went there and had this rally, whatever, they, you know, like 500 of them, whatever, and I mean, don't they read their own material? Don't they you know, what kind of conscience do they have? You know, I read this stuff and you know, just shake my head. How come he didn't get another trial? You know, and why are they, you know, so blind?
Let me ask you, Betty.
They can't
Why do you think they did, that he didn't get a trial?
A new trial, you mean?
Yeah.
I think because they are scared to get found out about see all the trouble there on the Pine Ridge. The government was trying to buy land from the Indians because they found this uranium or whatever it was. I think it was uranium, and FBI were involved in that with all their dirty work there. And I think they just don't want to be found out what big crooks they are. If this can happen to my brother, it can happen to anybody. Anybody. And people need to stop and demand justice.
So you're talking about one of the questions Alan from Wyoming is asking is, what is Leonard's stand on the current taking of resources on lands promised by treaty? How does he feel about that? How does Leonard feel about that?
He just thinks we're just getting screwed over and over, you know.
Well, that's one good way of saying it,
yeah,
honey.
I didn't know how else to say it.
It's what it is.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
There's no beating around the bush on that one, hon.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
It is such an interesting, you know, one of the statements that I remember when I was reading the biography and preparing for the interview, was an Ojibwa woman when, Leonard was very, young, and he said that it affected her tremendously, and she stood up and she yelled out in an emotional, tear-filled voice, and she said, "Where are our warriors? Why don't they stand up and fight for their starving people?" And Leonard said that sent electric vibrations from my scalp all the way down my spine to the soles of my feet. It was like a revelation to me that there was actually something worthwhile you could do with your life, something more important than living for your own selfish little life day by day. That was huge for Leonard. Does he still feel that it is huge that he maintains his position as warrior?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, if he gets out on parole, I bet you one of the stipulations will be that he has to keep his mouth shut that's what I'm thinking, that they're gonna, I don't know if he'll be able to be himself, you know.
Well, he's done a pretty good job while he's been in jail all this time. He really has. He's done some incredible work. One of the books that Leonard wrote while in prison was Leonard Peltier, My Life is a Sundance.
I cried when I read that.
Can you tell us about that? And can you explain the significance of the Sundance to our listeners?
Well, the Sundance is, I don't even know how to describe it the way Leonard does. It's a spiritual thing, where they, the men, they'll pray and fast for a few days and then they'll, do the Sundance, the spearing and stuff.
So it's basically a sort of spiritual cleansing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, Leonard's, he was a Sundancer and, imagine he will be all his life. He does go to the sweats and things and, in prison.
So he does, I was going to ask that. Does he do the sweat lodges in prison?
Yes, but then he says, they don't give them enough tobacco, he said, to do a real good ceremony, you know. They'll barely just get past the pipe once, and that's all the tobacco they give them, you know.
Okay.
And we use this for religious things, not to, you know.
Not for just the smoking tobacco, yeah. I have done a sweat lodge myself many years ago, so I know the process, and it is very cathartic and it's very healing. I still can't imagine anybody even entering into a sweat lodge without experiencing some kind of a relief from the burdens that they carry with them during their lives.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that it still helps, even if it isn't. You know,
even if it isn't done, you know, right and like they would do, you know, on the outside and
The Indian Affairs Bureau, how do they support Leonard's position
like the different tribes, you know, we're getting support from a lot of tribes. And Belcourt, where we're enrolled, where Wayne Leonard was born on the Turtle Mountain Reservation, well, they signed a resolution, you know, for Leonard's release. And, it just slipped out of my mind what I was going to say.
You were saying that many of the tribes were supporting you guys.
That's what I was going to say. But Dorgan, was elected for, you know, the, what the heck is his title? It's to do with Indian government.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, Bureau of Indian Affairs. And I wrote a letter to him, telling him about Leonard and to see if he'd support Leonard. And he said, he wrote me back a letter. And he said, I think Leonard's trial was fair and just. And I wrote him back another letter and I said, don't you read? I said, Don't you read the things everybody else in the world is reading, or are you just do you even try to help your Indian people? I said, if you read, you then I break down the facts, you know, that were proven in my letter, that were proven false. He wrote me back another letter. Well, thank you for your information, but I think he still had a fair trial, you know. And
this was did they consider this an official statement from the Bureau of Indian Affairs?
From him.
From him.
From him. And
what was his name?
Mad about it. You know, I don't think he'll get voted in next year.
What was his name?
Dorgan. I forget his first
Dorgan?
Name.
Okay, so it wasn't...
Yeah.
Okay, no. I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah, he was elected here in North Dakota.
Well, there you go, folks. For anybody that Native American descent, you know who not to vote for the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff is huge. And, you know, we also talked about your concern as a sister for the health and welfare of your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is diabetic, and what did your father... your father was alive during the time that Leonard was in prison?
Yes, and he
What were his thoughts?
He always believed Leonard was innocent, you know, and thought a lot of Leonard. He really always said the one thing: before I die, I want to see my son free, you know, and it never happened.
It must be very hard for you all.
See it. No.
Well, I hope that your pain and your suffering and your struggle over your brother Leonard's incarceration is ended soon, hopefully, for those of you that are in the area. Now, can you tell us where the vigil? I know this is really hard for you, Betty, and I know that how deeply you feel about this. But we need people to know that Leonard needs people to show up to that vigil.
Yes. The vigil is going to be in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and it's going to be on the 28th of July. And we're asking everybody, and we've already gotten tremendous, support for anybody that, to write to the parole commissioner and ask for Leonard's freedom. And I have an address here if you want to send her letters.
Oh, please, read it off if you don't mind.
It's 555.
Maybe we can even put it on this website.
All right. 5550 Friendship Boulevard, Suite 420, Chevy Chase, Maryland, 20815. And please try to do it before the 14th.
Can they also get this information off of the
yes,
website?
Yes, off of our website, but I know
so
a lot of
please.
People don't have computers.
Right.
So,
for those, any of you that are listening, Betty has given the address. The website for Leonard Peltier also has the address
all the
there.
Information, yeah.
And all
yeah.
the information about the vigil. So, and if you're in the area, please go attend. Give your support to the family and to the friends and to the tribes people of the nation, of the First Nation, in their support of this man. The address again is 5550 Friendship Boulevard, Suite 420, Chevy Chase, Maryland, 20815.
Yes.
So please go and do everything you can to support the efforts. They're also accepting donations on the site. Just for those of you that may have missed that, we also have people from as far as France that are funding the attorneys that are working on behalf of Leonard Peltier's release. So there's people all over the world, the Dalai Lama. Presidents have come and gone, and let's implore the Obama administration to help serve justice where none has been had so far. Betty, it has been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
We hope one day to have your brother on the show
yes.
with us as well.
Yes.
And we are going to be sending prayers, and again, go to the website, leonardpeltier.net, and good luck to you, dear. Good luck
Thank
to you.
You.
You know something
Thank
I have to tell
me.
You? I told you this in on break, and I'm telling it to you in front of everybody. You are a wonderful sister.
Thank you.
And be well and be
cool. I have a wonderful brother.
You do. Yeah, you do. You must have a wonderful brother because look at the support that he's generated. It sounds like he's a really great guy. Hopefully
yeah.
we'll be able to meet him very soon.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And as usual, let the people speak. When the people speak, we make a difference.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the table by the relief fountain, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.